scriptures this morning, the first Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. It's a story you'll quickly recognize. Immediately after this, and this is the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified, and in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," said Jesus. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped, and the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Our second reading from Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up." And our third passage from Philippians 3, 12 to 14. These are the words of Paul. "I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." My daughter shared a video with me recently of our 4-year-old granddaughter riding her 2-wheel bike with training wheels. It was the first time she had been doing it. And she seemed to be doing okay, coming down a little hill. She was pedaling and looked like she was in control. And then she noticed her mother. And when she looked up at her mother, everything changed. And she began to wobble, and it looked like she was going to crash. And her face looked like she thought she was going to crash. But her training wheels kept her up. I'm sure all of us have experienced on these long country roads a time when our eyes been kept a little too long on something and we realize we've drifted toward the shoulder or maybe a little over the center line. It's a lesson that every one of us learns at some point. Look where you're going. It's an important rule. But the reverse of that rule is also true. You go where you are looking. It's true in the physical sense, with our cars, with a child on her bike. And it's also true in an emotional sense. Have you ever had an emotional response to a movie? To a TV show? Where whatever's happening impacts your emotions? You go where you're looking, even emotionally. This rule is also true spiritually. If your eyes are on the world, you will follow the patterns of the world. But if your eyes are on Jesus, you will follow Jesus. Peter, walking on the water, demonstrates all three of these truths. He physically follows Jesus onto the water, but then when he looks at the storm, he is emotionally undone, and his emotions follow fear, and he begins to sink. He has enough sense to cry out, "Save me, Lord," and of course Jesus rescues him. And then the lesson becomes spiritual. Jesus said, "You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me?" Now, I just want to take a tiny little sidebar here because of what Jesus said. "Why do you doubt me?" He didn't say, "Why do you doubt? Why do you doubt that you can walk on the water?" He said, "Why do you doubt me?" It wasn't Peter that kept him on top of the water. It was Jesus. And as long as his eyes were locked on Jesus, he was safe, regardless of what the wind and the waves were doing. But his looking away illustrated a sudden doubt, a fear that maybe Jesus wasn't greater than the storm. This is a huge spiritual lesson for us. When we look away from Jesus and look to our own ability, we are casting doubt on Jesus being more powerful than our circumstances. We are really kind of saying, "Well, Jesus, I don't think you can handle this, so I'm going to try," which will always end in disaster. Now, suppose this story of Peter on the water happened on a calm night. There was no storm. Would the miracle of walking on water be any less impressive? I don't think so. I would imagine the story would have had Peter walking out to Jesus and maybe them hugging when he gets there, and Jesus saying, "Well done, Peter," and then the two of them walking back into the boat and continuing along to the shore. But the storm is there, and it's there for a good reason. The storm represents the distractions of the world that grab our attention and make us doubt Jesus' power over the world. Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble. Take heart, I have overcome the world." But do we live like we believe that? Do we truly trust Jesus in all situations? Do we believe he has in fact overcome the world? Do we keep our eyes on him and follow his way regardless of the presented circumstances? See, not only does where you look determine where you go, it also determines how you walk. What I mean by that is that we imitate who we watch. My youngest granddaughter's 2, and she follows her 4-year-old brother around like a shadow and tries to imitate whatever he does. If he runs around like a crazy person, she runs around like a crazy person too. If he jumps over every obstacle in the living room, then she tries to jump over it all too. And if he refuses to eat his broccoli, she does the same. Scripture tells us to imitate God. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." 1 John 2:6, "Whoever says he abides in Jesus ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." And the Apostle Paul challenges the believers in Corinthians and says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." As we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will imitate him. And as we do this, others will see our example, and it will help them imitate Christ as well. That's what we read in Hebrews. Since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, that is to say, those other people who have followed Jesus, who are imitating Jesus, become the cloud of witnesses for us that strengthens our walk as we add to the witness and strengthen other people. Paul goes on to say that we should strip off every weight that slows us down whatever bad habit, whatever thing we carry, the baggage of our life that slows us down, we need to just let it go. Especially anything that is entangling us in sin. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, not on the finish line, but on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. What we lack in faith, Jesus makes up. When Peter had his eyes on Jesus, his faith was strong. When he looked away, he lost that. Oh, you of little faith. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For to this you have been called, to be imitators of Christ, to walk in his way, to keep our eyes on him. Because Christ suffered for you, leaving an example so that you might follow in his steps." Since where you look determines how you walk, be sure that your eyes are on Jesus. But how do we get our eyes focused on Jesus so that we can walk better? Well, focusing on Jesus requires us to actively be looking to Christ as our guide, to become aware of his presence. And there are some daily scriptural practices that will help us. Reading our scriptures, acknowledging that God's word is a lamp to guide our feet and a light for our path. But if you don't know what it says, how do you know to read its guidance? How do you know what it tells you to do? And equally important, maybe even more important, is dedicating time to prayer. The scripture tells us to devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart, Colossians 4:2. Following Jesus is about relationship first, and that develops in prayer. If we keep an alert mind, it helps us detect the schemes of the devil in our life and to weed through the distractions that the world tries to offer us. And a thankful heart is a humble posture. To be thankful, to have gratitude, means that you are humble in heart to acknowledge this thing that's been done for you or to you. And Psalm 25:9 says that God leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. So having gratitude creates a humble heart, and then God is able to lead you. You don't think you know more than God. Learning to be aware of his presence in our lives is so important. Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Intentionally shifting our attention away from the things of the world, those earthly distractions, the doom scrolling, all that kind of stuff, and bringing our attention to Christ. Thinking about good things. Paul gives us a list. It says, "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Consider what you usually think about." Does it fit into that list Paul gave us? How does what you think about impact you spiritually? Does it increase your fear and anxiety? Or does it foster peace and joy and hope? Is what you think about life-giving? Or does it produce in you negative emotions like anger and frustration and fear? It makes sense as a strategy of the devil to distract our attention away from what really matters. Away from Jesus. Because Jesus is life, and focusing on him brings an abundant life. Which brings me to probably my favorite verse, John 10:10. "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came," says Jesus, "that they may have life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." The thief is trying to steal our attention and our focus and even our time. I've been watching some teachings around TikTok and Reels and other similar platforms, and how this doom scrolling is actually rewiring our brains that we can't focus like we used to be able to. And maybe your generation isn't as prone to doom scrolling, but I know the younger ones certainly are. And it impacts the way that they can focus and for the length of time that they can focus on any one thing. These platforms are also creating a dopamine addiction in our brains. So they just keep scrolling to see if the next one's better, the next one's better. Maybe the next one will be funny. This is a real strategy. The thief is trying to steal our attention, to keep us distracted from Jesus. Because if our eyes aren't on Jesus and they're on the storm, we're going to sink. When we combine this with the principle that you go where you are looking and where you look determines how you walk, we can see how important it is that we keep our eyes on Jesus if we want to have the abundant life he promised. So we can see now how important the storm is in Peter's story. Nothing changed in Peter walking on the water except where he looked and what he gave his attention to. Focusing on Jesus allows us to walk over the storms of life, to not be drowned by them. But not only that, focusing on Jesus enables us to walk with integrity and honor, glorifying God with our lives. Focusing on Jesus sets us up to be imitators of Christ, living lives of kindness and compassion and love and justice. So the questions for each of us is this: where are you looking? What do you give your attention to? What occupies your time? Because where you look determines how you walk. Go now with your eyes fixed on Jesus. When the winds of life grow strong, remember the one who walks on the water and reaches out his hand to hold you fast. Lay aside every weight that slows your journey and press on toward the goal of God's upward call in Christ Jesus. May the Lord give you courage to keep walking by faith, wisdom to keep your eyes on him, and strength to finish the race with joy. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, remain with you, and guide you every step today and always. Amen.